Hello, dear viewers. I'm George from Ireland. Thanks for coming back to my channel again. Well, this is about the Irish Boundary Commission, which met 100 years ago, although it began its work in March. This is pursuant to the treaty signed on the 6th of December 1921 at 10 Downing Street by a number of Sinn Féiners and representatives of His Majesty's government. So that allowed for the creation of the Irish Free State. Northern Ireland remained where it was in the United Kingdom. Northern Ireland had been a distinct entity since early that year. The Parliament of Northern Ireland had already elected or been elected. So notably, the treaty said that the whole of Ireland was going to leave the United Kingdom, the whole of Ireland, and that would include the six northeastern counties, unless within a month the Parliament of Northern Ireland presented an address to His Britannic Majesty requesting that they stay within the United Kingdom. And that's why, in the end, Northern Ireland stayed within the UK. All right, so that was the so-called Anglo-Irish Treaty. And Michael Collins, who led the Sinn Féin delegation, said he signed his own death warrant, and indeed that's true. He's killed by his own organization, the IRA. I like to underscore that Michael Collins was a liege man of King George V, the King of Ireland. He swore an oath to George V as King of Ireland, as did everybody in Dáil Éireann, as did even Éamon de Valera in 1927. But anyway, well, one of the provisions of the 1921 treaty is that a boundary commission would meet, and then it would make recommendations to adjust the border so there'd be more nationalists in the Irish Free State, and then possibly more unionists in Northern Ireland, therefore in the United Kingdom. So those six whole counties remained in the UK. So Armagh, Down, Derry, Antrim, Fermanagh, and Tyrone. Derry, you can say Londonderry if you want. I mean, the city is Derry. I call it that. So almost everyone in the city calls it. And the county, I usually say Londonderry, but I have no objection to people saying Derry. I'm not one of those people who thinks you should throw a fit if someone has a choice of words different from one's own. Anyway, so the Nationalists often said there was a nationalist majority in Fermanagh and Tyrone, as those counties ought to have come to the Irish Free State, but that didn't happen. God, I don't know, haven't seen the election results. There was a Catholic majority, but Catholic and nationalist is not always the same. Okay, there were some Catholic unionists, as there were some Protestant nationalists. People voted for the Northern Ireland Labour Party, which is pro-union, might not say unionist. And there's also a difference in turnout. Another point is obviously you can only vote over the age of 21. So there might have been a disproportionate number of Catholic children, higher infant mortality, or people often going overseas before their voting age. So the Boundary Commission finally met. So it met in Dublin and indeed elsewhere. So they had a judge from England. There was Owen McNeill, who was actually a Northern nationalist. He was the guy who established the Irish Volunteers, which later turned into the IRA. He was the one who did more to screw over the Easter Rising than anybody else. Thanks very much, Professor McNeill. But then that's partly because the guns provided by Germany didn't turn up because Prince Roger Casement was arrested and that ship Orde was scuttled. There was a unionist barrister, editor of a newspaper, Joseph R. Fisher. So that those are the three main people. Justice Richard Feetham is often described as being a South African judge. He was a legal advisor to the government of South Africa, and he wasn't originally South African. Okay, so it was meant to be top secret what was going on. And 1925 adverts put in the Irish press, and that was largely seen as like a Fianna Fáil newspaper, to say anybody who's got any opinion, whatever, write into them, consult to them. So they had hearings in various places in Northern Ireland and so on. So they took their submissions and they came up with their draft in October 1925. But people like Michael Collins had pinned their hopes on major revisions of the border. In fact, the recommendations were quite slight, and in the end, there would have been a net loss to Northern Ireland of only 2% of its territory. I mean, Northern Ireland's about 20,000 square kilometres. The Republic of Ireland, as we are now, we're about 70,000. So Ireland as a whole is around 90,000 square kilometres. Of course, in those days, they were dealing with miles. Yeah. So it would have made the border a little bit shorter. So there would have been some transfers to the Irish Free State, as was of something like 400 square kilometers, some transfers to the United Kingdom of about 110 square kilometers, and so on. And so about 31,000 people were going to join the Irish Free State, almost 8,000 to join Northern Ireland, and so on. It was around some of East Donegal, some of that was going to join the United Kingdom. And then in Tyrone, there would be small adjustments in the very south on the border, around Clocha and Auchinlecloy and things like that. So Strabane was a very nationalist town, right? So but they had to take into account, well, is this geographically contiguous? Because the area just to the east of Strabane, it really needs Strabane as its market and so on. What are you going to do? It's a similar dilemma that people wrestled with the partition of India. Okay, and that was sort of a Hindus and Sikhs on one side and Muslims on the others, right? So this should go to Pakistan, but no, that's key to the waterworks for that district, so we can't do that or whatever. Or we'll put this into India, but no, but then the railway connecting these two towns would be in India and that wouldn't work. So it's impossible to draw a line and have everybody who on this side and want to be there, and everybody on the other side who wants to be there, and so on. I've got a better idea. Stay in the United Kingdom. Then there wouldn't be a boundary like that. It's actually nationalists who wanted partition. They did. They wanted a different place down the Irish Sea, but they still wanted partition. Unionists weren't demanding partition, were not demanding the expulsion of Ireland or any portion thereof. So we go on. And if obviously, if Ireland is entitled to secede from the United Kingdom, presumably Northern Ireland is entitled to secede from Ireland. Well, why not? Because it's not a nation. But nations are born. No nations are is eternal. Nations are temporary, and so on. So for Manor, there are also lakes, which made it very, very complicated. Tributaries of the Erne and so on. Nash has said the whole of the county ought to go to the Irish Free State. But that didn't happen. They thought of having enclaves and double order enclaves, okay, that like within some of Monaghan be part of the United Kingdom, but inside that enclave, a bit of it be like what's the word? Part of the Irish Free State and so on. So they looked at bits of Monaghan and Tyrone as well, some of Armagh, and some unionists said we should have lost South Armagh, which was bandit countries that came to be known. Colourville, Cross Maglen, Jonesboro, and so on, places that were kind of become notorious for terrorism, for murdering local civilians, accusing them of having helped the security forces and things like that, for smuggling, for the brutality of Republican terrorists who are determined to deny people their rights and manage to intimidate people for so long. And I know that they had some heartfelt supporters as well. And so we go on. So the commission finally reported in 1925. The Morning Post, which is a very right-wing newspaper, published the draft map is supposed to be secret. So people in the Irish Free State were gravely disappointed. They thought there were going to be significant changes, but nevertheless, some land was offered to the Irish Free State, and we said no. Irish government declined. So that's it. So therefore, we shouldn't sort of press some claim. We're offered at least some of it and said no. Therefore, we got no claim to the rest of it. When it's offered a place, said no. Likewise, in the Second World War, there were two public offers to the Irish government of the whole of Northern Ireland. De Valera turned it down. So that's three times. No, we long ago lost any claim whatsoever. All right. And in return for saying it could stay part of the United Kingdom, the Irish Free State were forgiven 157 billion pounds, which we owed our share towards the national debt. You could say it was sold and so on. That's it. Some people found it very disappointing. The Council of Ireland, which is meant to coordinate between the Irish Free State and Northern Ireland, didn't meet in those days. Obviously, part of the Good Friday Agreement, it did meet. There was the Council of Ireland, North South Ministerial Council is now. The Council of Ireland then started meeting again after the Sunningdale Agreement of 1974, but that was brought to grief by May 1970. November 1973 started meeting and ended in May 1974. So goodness, I remember it was a postgraduate, actually read the whole of the Boundary Commission's report. Whole thing wasn't published in its entirety to the 1960s. I'm not sure why. Well, thank you for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe. and to me on Patreon, today PayPal, georgecallahan790@gmail.com, and do what you can to bring the Republic of Ireland back into the United Kingdom.